a From Dublin to Cleveland production.
Hello and welcome to From Dublin to Cleveland. I'm Logan Howard, and I am joined, as always, by the host with the most, Brendan Thomas Merritt. How's it going, Brendan? How are you today?
Great. Always great. How's tricks?
It is doing well here. We didn't have the rapture happen, so unfortunately, I am still here. You are still listening to the dulcet tones of Logan Howard, because I was not taken home when the eclipse went through. And it's just a shame, you know, it's just a shame. I'm in mourning. I have been wearing black, you know, just to mourn the thing of not being home to see Jesus. But it's okay. We are here. Means God has purpose for us. We still got our jobs to do, no matter what those crazy people said that we were going to be raptured. Because apparently only the Americans get raptured and everyone else gets left.
The rest of the world existed for thousands of years, my friends, the USA. You're not the first people who've ever experienced an eclipse. There's nothing new under the sun. Know the season that you're in. Don't mistake an imprint of prophecy for the actual manifestation of one. Relax. Take a breath. Chill out. You've not been appointed onto wrath.
most of our audience now is from Ireland. So we're just like, it's all Ireland. So they'll just be like, yeah, forget the Americans. They can drive to the sea.
How that happens when you have like multiple St. Patrick's Day videos, one after the other. That's how we'll rein in all the demographics. We'll just like have videos on like all the cultural festivals.
Yeah, we'll have to add a
Ramadan
for every episode. Just to, look, it's Irish.
I'll just wear like an Irish pin on all of them, like, you know, a clatter ring or something.
Or every title is just the Irish version of something. It's no longer just a regular thing. It's like the Irish this, the Irish that.
We'll just change the title to From Dublin. And drop the next two words. Especially because it hasn't been in Cleveland for a very long time.
Here's what I'll say. If you guys support us enough so that I can just go move to Dublin, Ireland, we will do the podcast live from Ireland.
We have another 31 counties. Don't move to Dublin, for goodness sake. Have some self-respect.
I'll just move to Dublin and we'll just do it live. We'll get paid millions of dollars for this podcast. And if you want to support us, send us money. You can buy our shirts.
So you get the money for an airplane and a house. I don't see how I profit from this financially, but okay, sure. Yeah.
You get to see me. That's
oh, okay. So you know? Gotcha.
Well, anyway.
You Baptists believe in that sort of thing.
Yeah. We've wasted enough time. You can, of course, buy a shirt of ours. We have them on our links are in the description. You can, of course, follow us on our Instagrams and all that stuff. So anyway, let's get into what we're talking about today. So we're going to play a game. I am going to give Brendan three characters. Some might be fiction, some might be political. I'm going to give him three characters, and he's going to have to pick which one he loves, which one is his favorite, which one he kind of likes, and which one he wishes didn't exist. He'd just leave them. They're gone. So he doesn't have anything to do with them anymore. They just disappear.
They're just gone.
We're going to start with our first three characters. So then once Brendan gives them, I'll give my opinions on them. Maybe we'll have a rubric match and maybe it'll just
be expression.
So we'll see. So we're going to start with the first three. We're going Star Wars for the first one. We are going Obi-Wan Kenobi, Han Solo, and Luke Skywalker. Which one do you like? Which one do you love? And which one is just disappeared?
Wow. My answer has changed, actually, from what it would have been a number of months ago. Those who have been watching the podcast for a while know I don't watch TV or movies, but I do still like to keep on top of what comes out, because I like to convince myself and affirm my decision to have cut it all out of my life. And Obi-Wan Kenobi used to be my favorite Star Wars character, actually. I had the lightsaber and everything. But oh my goodness, having heard what an absolute disaster the Kenobi show was, and especially Ewan McGregor's probably the best acting he's done in 20 years with that video he filmed in his car calling all the fans racists. So ditch him. I could literally watch every Star Wars movie all over again, not Disney Star Wars, and just skip all the Obi-Wan scenes, and I would feel like I was missing nothing. He's just dead to me. Han Solo is the one that I thought as a real person I wouldn't be able to stand. He's now my like. Luke Skywalker is my love. Just super. Whingy and whiny in the first movie, A New Hope, very, very irritating. But to see just how he grows over the course of those movies, to like the confident, reconciliation oriented Jedi in Return of the Jedi was just phenomenal. So yeah, that'd be my order. Ewan McGregor, you killed Obi-Wan for me, and you only have yourself to blame. I know Mark Hamill's no better and he's been worse for longer, but I had a heart for Obi-Wan and Ewan broke it. I was pretty about Luke beforehand.
All right, so mine is probably flipped from yours.
Okay.
So I'm a huge Obi-Wan Kenobi fan. I know that there was a lot of backlash about the Obi-Wan show. I didn't care. It was fine. There were moments in it towards the end where it was glorious. And to be honest, Obi-Wan in the Star Wars universe, Luke Skywalker doesn't exist if Obi-Wan isn't a thing. He either gets executed during Order 66 because his dad was just going to kill everybody, or he becomes a Sith or becomes evil, or he even in Episode 4, Obi-Wan's the one who saves him from being like killed by the Tusken Raiders or the stormtroopers who take over the Tusken Raiders. So like Luke Skywalker doesn't exist without Obi-Wan. So Obi-Wan is my love. I like him because he's an average guy who did more than average things. He was not the greatest like wielder of the Force, but he was able to take out multiple Sith and was good. So in the storyline,
projection much?
What'd you say? Over projection.
When you said he was an ordinary guy who did amazing things, I was like, self-projection much?
Anyway.
It's fine. It's okay.
So he's my love. I then would put Han Solo as my like. And then, unfortunately, I had to watch the episodes 7, 8, and 9 and watch the destruction of a character. One of Luke Skywalker. And it was a stupid end, and it was a stupid go through that. Like, he didn't want to be there. He didn't want to act that way or have his character be that way when you talk to Mark Hamill. So for me, it is, I'm sorry, Luke Skywalker, he's gone. Because, again, there was two. Princess Leia was always there too. So she could have just been the Jedi instead of Luke, and all would be fine. The story would move on.
Yeah. No, what they did to his character was absolutely shameful, and it is so shamelessly and in your face. They knew exactly what they were doing, destroying the whole mythology, and they did it out of sheer spite. It was disgusting.
All right, next group we have the Wolverine, we have Spider-Man, and we have Thor. Which is the person you're going to like? Which one you love, and which one disappears?
Super easy, barely an inconvenience. I love Spider-Man, he's my absolute favorite. I actually have a comic book right here, which is an issue that I missed the first time around, all the way back in 2008. And then I found it recently in a comic book shop, and I was like, oh my goodness, it's still in print! So I picked this up and a few X-Men ones that I'd missed. So I'm going to read that soon. Yeah, he's my absolute favorite. The very first comic book I ever bought was Spectacular Spider-Man, issue 103, Spider-Man versus Sandman from Panini Comics. So, yeah, love it. Thor, never cared much for him. But in the MCU, I kind of found once Ragnarok came along, controversial choice, I know. You got people dying in the thousands, and the whole movie's a comedy. But I do think that for material he was given, Chris Hemsworth gave it all he had. And Infinity War, I thought he did an excellent job as well. So I'd say Thor second. And Wolverine, never liked him. I don't get the appeal. I mean, I get it if you want to have an X-Man who will just, like, kill the enemy, slice and dice them, sure, whatever, fair enough. But there was a perfectly happy couple in Scott Summers' Cyclops and Jean Grey, Marvel Girl. And along comes this hairy beast who tries to, well, disrupt their classic love affair. Couldn't hack it. Hated him from the moment I first saw him. All these years later, he still hasn't grown on me.
Yeah. So we are a rubric match on this one. So Spider-Man, I think he is a very relatable character. You know, he's a human, just a regular, another regular Joe who just gets bit by a spider and then has these cool abilities. And I don't think I particularly like that they've keep like rechanging him movie wise where they have like three different versions, but you know, it was kind of cool when they put them all together for the one that they just did most recently. Multiverse of Madness or whatever it was.
No Way Home. Multiverse of Madness. Yeah, Mom. That was the Doctor Strange 2 movie, which Doctor Strange was denigrated in his own movie, and it was actually a sequel to WandaVision. I have issues with that movie too. That's for another episode.
Yep.
Brendan fixes.
Thor, just because I've watched all of the movies, and I can't say his current trajectory is good, but all of Marvel is terrible right now. So it's terrible right now with Marvel.
Disastrous.
Bloody and then lastly is Wolverine, which you'd think I would like because his name is Logan. And I did have to watch a movie titled Logan because that was what the movie was titled with Wolverine in it. It was the most violent, gory, inappropriate movie I've ever watched. I do not recommend watching it. So
never let that language play through the screen in her house.
Yeah. It was – I went to a friend's house and they're like, it's Logan. We have to watch it. And I was like, all right, what's – terrible in it, and it was bad. So yeah, don't recommend that movie. So kids, you might be like, oh hey, Logan, my favorite podcaster, it's named after him. Don't do it. It's nope. All right,
first became friends, I used to routinely forget what your name was, and the only way I could remember it was thinking of Wolverine. You somewhat redeemed the name, but not the character.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Here is Brendan's favorite category. All right.
Maybe we all know where this is going if you've seen episode 21.
Who don't like politics, all right? If you don't like politics...
Skip on 3 minutes.
Skip a couple minutes. You'll get to the next group, all right? I want you to rank, Brendan, these famous Democrats, all right? I want you to rank Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and Hillary Clinton.
Oh my goodness. Well, I thought Nancy was going to be on the list. The Jakers.
For the children. Abortion. Blood.
Gosh, disgraceful cow. Oh my goodness, they're all shockingly bad. You know what? I have, there are women in my church who were helped, in quotation marks, by the Clinton Foundation. And it's basically rendered them sterile, that they can't have children because of Hillary. Nice. So, she's just an absolute deviant, crooked Jezebel. But I would say it's almost entertaining at this point watching her try to remain relevant. Like, did any of you see that video? It's only like 5, maybe 10 seconds long of her in the car with Chelsea, that daughter with the really, really, really big lips. And they're singing like, Katy Perry's You're Gonna Hear Me Roar. And you just have this 60, 70, whatever age she is, chick trying to seem relevant, young and hip and down with the kids. And yeah. I was like, only a few years ago, my lovely, you couldn't even walk 10 meters without collapsing. And every time you laughed, you looked like you were on the electric chair. It was like, your time is done. Just go to that mansion you share with Bill, sleep in your separate bedrooms, pretend you like each other when there's a camera around, wait until the day the cops find a knock on your door and take you away. Spend your money while you still have it, love. She'd be my love, insofar as she annoys me the least now, because she's just a pathetic tryhard. Joe Biden, if that even is his real name, he would be my like, because I'm half convinced that sometimes you see a man, half the time you see an automatron of like a robot that just looks like a man. I think the real Joe Biden probably died a long time ago, and this guy is just an actor. A demon-possessed actor. Have you ever seen like how his arctic blue eyes sometimes turn black live on TV, right? And you'll see, you know, the demon looking through him. I think forces behind him really want to make him like the Antichrist, idol of desolation or something. A machine that comes alive or something. But no, he's just deviant. He has always been crooked and evil. But I would say he's very definitely suffering from dementia right now. So while he has been incredibly evil his whole life long, I'd say he's not necessarily in total control of his actions right now. And I would say the absolute worst of the worst is Barry, which is a shame, because I've got a brother called Barry, and I love that name. I chose it. But I know Barry's the nickname his opponents give him. Firstly, I'm pretty sure he's married to, how do you put this politely? Dude looks like a lady. So Michelle, I've seen the photographs, and I've never once seen one of her, him, shim, pregnant. I think Michelle's a Michael. Just throwing it out there. And I think when I hear Europeans talk about America, a lot of them are very quick to throw out words like, oh, America's such a racist country. But correct me if I'm wrong, he was the one who really damaged race relations, right? Things had been on the upward trajectory for years before he came on the scene. And began doing his apology tour everywhere he went, apologizing, you know, for the crimes of the white American. And also, he's undoubtedly the one pulling the strings behind Biden. So, plus, you know, that video where he said if he could sit in a basement and speak through an earpiece into a front man's ear, he would. And he's like the only ex-president who stuck around Washington. So he definitely has his hooks in a lot of people, his finger in a lot of nefarious pies. So I think he's the worst of the worst. But yeah. I'd be interested in your perspective.
Yeah, I agree. He's the worst of the worst. Again, all of these, we're leaving all of these. Like, they can all just, you know,
burn in hell.
You know, Jesus can still save them, but
he can, but I don't know. There's an ounce of humility there for them.
Yeah.
It's a bad knee.
So Barack's the bottom, definitely. I think it's weird. He has like a popularity here that I don't really understand. But people think he was like the last best president we've had. And I'm like,
Disgusting.
Yeah. Hillary is my like, because she is like, she means nothing. She's not in anything. She's just there. So it's fine. She can stay exactly where she is. And then you have Joe Biden, who is my love, because I love to laugh at him. The man trips all the time, falls off bikes. And
yeah, you
know, I respect that he is our president, but I also just find it humorous when the gaffes happen. And him trying to say words and figure things out. And it's sad that they put him out there on the stage, but you know, this is what people voted for. So it's just kind of funny that this is what we get. So
the ones who exalt themselves, the Lord brings low and makes them fall. And it's nice to see it happen physically and spiritually.
And if you can't laugh, you cry. So it's better to laugh than cry.
Make the memes, my friends. Make those memes. Meme lords are the resistance in these days.
All right. So here is where, for those of you skipped ahead, you can now join us again after our political chat. So we're going back to Star Wars. So here are your three characters: Yoda, Darth Vader, and R2-D2. Yoda, Darth Vader, and R2-D2.
Secondary characters I'm pretty apathetic towards. Yoda, Darth Vader, R2-D2. This might be a controversial one, but I'm sorry. I don't get the hype about Darth Vader. I get it. No one had ever seen anybody strangle someone through a screen before. And he's like Marvel's Doctor Doom. Only he's actually been like done correctly in the medium of cinema. But actually, no, am I the only one who thinks the Emperor is like a better villain? And far more interesting, even though you see him like far less. Yoda is pretty class, but is he? Depends what movie you're watching, I suppose. I guess probably my favorite scene in the entirety of the Star Wars saga, and again, I do not dignify Disney Star Wars as being Star Wars, is probably Yoda versus Emperor Palpatine in the Senate chambers. I like how you basically have all the Senate pods collapsing at the same time democracy is collapsing in the Senate chambers and the galaxy as a whole. So I'd say Yoda's probably my love, because that is my favorite scene. Although, my goodness, he freaked me out as a child when I first saw him in Empire Strikes Back. My like... Yeah, listen, Darth Vader, he's very well done. He's not my favorite villain. He isn't. And then I could totally leave R2-D2. Until people reference him, I forget he was part of the franchise at all. Despite being in at least 6 of the movies.
Yeah. So I'm very agreed on the bottom spot. So there are episodes, for those of you who've ever watched Clone Wars or any of that stuff, there are episodes where they have solely R2-D2 and C-3PO episodes. They do nothing. They go nowhere. They drive me insane. And I understand that what they needed was something, a toy that they could sell, and they could like pass through all of the like different eras of Star Wars, because droids live forever. So droids, you can always have droids show up. Mm-hmm. So I understand all of that, but at the same time, R2-D2 does nothing for me. So R2-D2 is at the bottom. Also, if you ever get a game somebody just gives you this R2-D2 thing and it makes noise, it is the most annoying sounds that comes out of it. So, you know, it's bad. My like is probably Yoda. Yoda, I think, was very foolish in most of the story for being the Grand Master of the Republic, could not figure out that the guy who he was working for, Emperor Palpatine or Darth Sidious or any of those things, couldn't figure out that he was the ultimate bad guy. He just couldn't figure it out, even though he'd sit across his desk every single day. could not figure it out for the life of him. And of course, there's reasons and all this stuff. But if he was so in tuned with the Force, he'd figure that out. And then, of course, you've got my love, which is Darth Vader, because Darth Vader is imposing. And I agree that I think there are ways in which the Emperor is better, because he's more master strategy, whereas Vader is just brute violent force. But you need both of those things at the same time. I think that more people would love the Emperor if they knew his backstory, which is a book that is not even canon anymore, but gives a great story of how he became who he was, his deceiving, manipulating ways. So yeah, those are my choices. So it's Vader, Yoda, R2-D2. See you later, R2. All right, last grouping is going to be Marvel's grouping. So here we have Iron Man, Hulk, and Captain America. Iron Man, Hulk, and Captain America.
You know what? Despite Disney Marvel's attempt to subvert all the main characters, the male characters, and put all the female characters to the front, well done for not buckling and giving in to their communist tactics. Well done for just having the male characters there. So Iron Man, Captain America, and the Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
Love Captain America. He's class. Comic books, again, I could take him or leave him. He was not interesting until, I'd say, the 2010s. He was just very well done in the MCU's Captain America First Avenger. And then I think they really kind of began to write him properly and more dynamically and interestingly before then.
Yeah.
Ugh. I get that there's maybe a market for that kind of thing. Just didn't appeal to me at all. Then let's see. Ugh. This is an interesting one, because to be honest, I could leave Iron Man and the Hulk, but I would say Iron Man, I don't really like the whole like playboy kind of character in movies and entertainment in general. Yeah. But I suppose, yeah, you know what, he's interesting in his own way. And, you know, he did give his life to reboot reality and save us all. So I suppose I'm somewhat grateful for that. I am Iron Man. The Hulk. Yeah. He's strong. There's a little bit of a Beauty and the Beast kind of narrative going on there, but a rare example of Disney actually did it better. Beauty and the Beast. I don't know. He's green. He's big. He's strong. And he goes through a lot of purple trousers. That's meh. Meh. I could leave it. So yeah. Love Steve Rogers. Like Tony Stark. Bruce Banner. See you later, Bruce.
Yeah, I am absolutely agreed on everything you said. Captain America's number one, just because of his good guy, never relenting, consistent personality. Iron Man's number two because he did sacrifice. Now, I want all the kids who are listening, Brendan did not say that he actually saved us as humans.
Yes, he did.
He's a real human. In the movie, so you know, we just have to make that clarification.
He's in the Bible. Don't you know who Matthew Mark Lincoln's writing about, doing it?
Where Mickey Mouse is Satan?
Well, it's not too far off. The house of mouse has kind of become a house of rats right now, hasn't it?
Yeah. And then, of course, Hulk. Hulk has terrible movies. The movies were not good. Hulk movies can't really. They're just there. Yeah. And then, and really, the best part of the Hulk movie is when Tony Stark shows up at the end.
Right.
So that just says exactly all you need to say about this grouping.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Well, anyway, that has been our love, like, and leave. And so hopefully you enjoyed that. And if you have any other topics or characters that you'd like us to go through, maybe next time we can go through Bible characters. That would be wild.
Oh, that could be fun.
So we'll talk about that. And I think we are now going to our Bible reading. So Brendan, what are we reading today?
Sure. Okay, so Logan and I were chatting about this earlier. I'm sure that none of our beloved fans lost their heads and thought that the world would be crippled by fire and plagues, and that the demonic king of Tartarus, Apollyon, also known as Abaddon, was going to come out and destroy us all and massacre billions. I'm sure the whole 8th of, what's it, the month, April thing, just passed you by. You heard it, you're like, okay, America, that's nice, I'm moving on with your lives. But just in case some of you are wondering, wasn't the world supposed to end 2 days ago? No, friends, no it wasn't. Please whip open your Bibles to Revelation 1:10. Okay, so I'm just going to look at this from a purely prophetic lens, okay? Not much in the way of application and instruction. Just prophecy, just for your own peace of mind. Okay, so Revelation 1:10 says, on the Lord's day, you could rephrase that, on the day of the Lord, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. What does that mean? In prophecy, in the Old Testament, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the Jewish epistles, and in Revelation, the day of the Lord, or the Lord's day, always, always, without fail, prophetically refers to the Great Tribulation. If you're looking for something about the rapture, you can look for the day of Christ, or the day of the Lord Jesus. Okay? They're found in 1 Corinthians 1:8, 1 Corinthians 3:13, 1 Corinthians 5:5, 2 Corinthians 1:14, Philippians 1:6, and verse 10, and 2:16, and 2 Timothy 1:18 and 4:8. Get all your rapture references there. But the day of the Lord, or the Lord's day, that's what you see in Isaiah, Ezekiel, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Zephaniah, Malachi, Matthew, early Acts, like 2:20, Revelation. You're going to notice a pattern here, primarily the Jewish books. Because in the Great Tribulation, who are the faithful? The faithful are believers in Israel, the 144,000, 12,000 from each Jewish tribe. They're not Gentiles. The body of Christ are Gentiles. The Great Tribulation saints are primarily Israelites who go around the world and evangelize the earth. So Revelation was written probably between 50 and 55 AD. And you've probably seen some people say, no, it wasn't. It was written in 95 AD. Nonsense. Because the Apostle Paul specifically says, he was the apostle assigned to conclude the scriptures. That means all the Jewish books had already been written. And he was writing in, like, you know, the 60s. And then he was killed before the 70s. So therefore, they're all the Jewish books were written in the 50s. So a lot of people try to make biblical prophecy refer to historical events. So they say, well, Revelation isn't about the future, it's about the days of Nero. No, the day of the Lord specifically refers to a 7-year period of the apocalypse. And the day of the Lord is for rejecters of Christ. It's a day of judgment, of earthly despair. It's a day to be feared and dreaded. Even, like, you know, verse 7 talks about Jesus coming on the clouds. That's when he comes, you know, in Revelation 19, on horse, and he takes a sword out of his mouth. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and people will mourn. The rapture is our blessed hope, And it happens in the twinkling of an eye. We're citizens of heaven. We get caught up into the sky. He makes our perished or perishable body imperishable. We go right up into the sky. We live in the three-dimensional body where he's effectively saved our spirit, soul, and body, redeemed us in all three parts. Revelation was written to believers who will endure the end times and have to overcome. So in these days, are we living in an imprint of the end? Absolutely. We have wars. We've got governments trying to bring in famines. You know, we've got things like the horseman, the apocalypse with the corona, the crown and the dart, the vaccine mandates. But I assure you, friends, in the spiritual, the horses are still in the stables. They have not been released upon you. You're fine. 2 Thessalonians 2 assures us that the Holy Spirit in you is repelling the spirits of the Antichrist, and you have not been appointed unto wrath. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. In Revelation, Satan gets his hands into the earth, sinks his claws in, and the wrath of God is poured out unrelentingly. You will never live under God's wrath. You live under his abundant grace. The gospel, which we spoke about in the last video, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, Christ came, lived, died, rose again for the forgiveness of your sins. Believe in that and you're saved, you're his child. You have more grace than anyone else in the Bible has ever had or will ever have. Holy Spirit lives in you. You've not been appointed unto wrath, unto judgment, unto destruction. You are his. And the Antichrist cannot come to power while you're here. You being on the earth on your worst, weakest, most vulnerable day is enough to keep the Antichrist off that throne. So don't fall prey to the biggest con in the body of Christ, the self-insert. Whip open a random passage. This is written to me. Is it though? A day of mourning? No. Our gospel brings us freedom. It's the gospel of peace. If you start mourning, lying on your bed and you won't get out of or eat for 7 days in a row, that's not Jesus. There's a different spirit in operation there. So don't insert yourself into Bible passages and stories and books that are not written to you. You're blessed for reading Revelation. It says you're blessed for reading it out loud. You're blessed for hearing it. But don't insert yourself into something that does not actually contain you in it. I know of Christians who've ended up in psychiatric facilities, and they might even still be there because of bad doctrine, because things were superimposed on them by man that God did not impose on them. All right? So in the spiritual realm, John was caught up into the day of wrath, not about an eclipse, not about NASA firing a shuttle in the sky. CERN and Switzerland are trying their best. They will fail, 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 fail. You live lightly. Live in the freedom of God, in the salvation of your God, in the grace of your God, not in fear. If you live in fear of the word, it's very likely that you've been bewitched by mixed theology and false doctrine. So, hopefully that wasn't too harsh. Logan can tell me later on if it was. But know who you are in Christ. Know the season you live in. And if you yoke yourself to something that's not for you, what did the Apostle Paul write to the Galatians? Who's bewitched you? Who's put a spell on you? Who's put a curse on you? Amen.
No, I'm sure somebody needed to hear that. So it was good. I think for me, I'm just going to go with a couple verses ahead. So in verse 8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, the one who is, the one who was, who is coming, the Almighty. God is the only one who knows what time is coming. I saw a meme this week that was, no man will know the time of his coming, which is a biblical verse in Revelation. But somebody, and all the women, there was like a, below it was all the women going, oh, we can figure it out. No. Humans are not going to figure it out when God's returning.
Self-insert.
The trumpet could hit at any moment or any time, but it doesn't mean that we know when it's going to happen. So numbers adding up to 777 or any of those kind of things don't necessarily mean we can't predict when God returns. He's the one who is the Alpha and Omega. So that means he's the beginning and the end. So he knows when the beginning was. He was there in the beginning. He created everything. And he knows when the end is. He knows when to pull the plug. And he has been more than gracious with humanity. Mm-hmm. He has been very gracious with us. He has given us opportunity. You know, we talk about here on this podcast, other people will talk about in Christian circles, like today is the day you need to accept Christ as your Savior. And that is always true. That doesn't change. Mm-hmm. God's grace is long lasting. He's long suffering and goes on for a long time, but that doesn't mean it doesn't end. It doesn't mean that there won't come a time when he goes, this enough is enough. I've seen enough. So he's Alpha and Omega. He was, and he's coming back for us. So the Lord will return. But it doesn't mean that we put on our tinfoil hats and we walk out and just like, oh, it's our time to get raptured. No, like God will come when he comes. Worry about the things that God has put in front of you to worry about. You know, if you have a family and you have to take care of them, you have to go to your work and go to your job. Do that. Do that well. Do that in an honor and glorifying to him. I saw a post the other day that was the people who you can impact most and disciple most are the people who sit at your table eating Cheerios. Because they're the ones that you can pour your life into. So the people you have, if you have families, pour into them. If you maybe, you know, you're one of the younger people on our end and you're just getting into high school or you're younger than that, what can I do? What can I pour into? You can disciple people younger than you still. There are always people younger than you who you can help and show and love. You know, one of the things that always frustrated me in high school was upperclassmen who just were rude and unkind to people younger than them. They didn't show grace to them. They thought they were stupid and they treated them poorly. And every time I saw that, I knew that the one thing I'm going to do when I get in that role is not be that. I'm not going to treat people that way. I'm going to make sure I love people and care for people. So our job here on earth is to love. We're supposed to disciple and build into other people's lives, walk with people. That's the best way to show Christ, is to live life with people, and they will ask you, why are you different? Why don't you swear? Why don't you do all the stuff that we do? And you say, well, I don't do that stuff because Jesus Christ has changed me. And then they go, well, who's Jesus? And that's your opportunity to share the gospel with them. That's how lives change, is you show that you love them. People don't just... We all just like to use the words that we love people. We say we love people, or maybe we just throw money to missionaries or other things and say, oh, we love them. We take care of them. And I think those are good things, but really true discipling is living life with people, is loving people, showing that you love people and serving them and laying your life out for them. I think we get too worried in our day and age about what have they done for us or what can I get from them and how are we equal balancing that out when it's really just care and love for people. Disciple them. And, you know, there's Bible verses that even talk about how a husband can win a wife can win her husband by not even saying a word, just in how she treats him and how she asks. So you can win people to Christ by just how you act. So work on the things that what your purpose is. You're put here for a purpose. Even the people who maybe are at the end of your lives and you're like, well, I'm just sitting around here waiting to die. You know, I've heard old people say that to me. You're not. God has put you on a place for a reason. And maybe you can't live like you used to. You can't go to the places you used to. You can still do something for Christ. Maybe you can write letters to people who are in prisons. Maybe you can write letters to people in your church and encourage them that when they go up on stage or act or, you know, they lead music or they speak, you can be an encouragement to people. So go go out and encourage people, serve people, love people, disciple people. That's the thing we need to be worried about. Don't worry about when Christ calls us, because when he calls us, we're not going to know when it is. Going to be the twinkling of an eye. It'll be quick. It'll be a trumpet. You know, don't be that guy who goes into the business meetings at your church and just plays a trumpet when everyone falls asleep because it's boring.
That's something people do.
don't mess with people. But you know, at the same time, do what God has called you to do. Find your purpose here on earth. Find your purpose that God has called you. And your purpose is always tied into glorifying God and building disciples. So if you can make your purpose and make your life making money or providing for your family, doing those two things, then you are doing what God wants you to do. So that's all I have to say is, you know, God's in control. He knows, trust him. He'll take care of it. So with that, I'll close this out here in a word of prayer. Jesus, thank you for this day. Lord, we're thankful so much for what you've done for us. Mm-hmm. We're thankful for your care for us. We're thankful for your love for us. We're thankful that you know the times and the seasons and you place them all in control. And so, Lord, we don't have to worry about who's running our countries. We don't have to worry about when things are going to happen and if, oh, the worst thing could happen. Lord, we have you. We have you in our hearts. And if we truly have and believe in you as our Lord and Savior, that we don't have to worry about anything. We can trust you fully. We can walk through any difficulties and any things that get thrown at us. We can go through because we know you. So Lord, we're thankful for Brendan. We're thankful that he's able to spend time late at night talking to somebody 5 hours difference than him. We're thankful that he's able to do that. We're thankful that we're able to do this now 112 times. And we're just thankful that you have blessed us. We're thankful that there's people who listen to us, that your work is going forth, even when we're not able to physically be in their lives, we're able to speak into people's lives. We pray that you'd use this word, your word, to convict hearts. Don't use our words, use your words to change people's lives. And we just pray that you would be with each one, help them to find their purpose, help them to live their purpose, to glorify you, to build disciples, and do all that in your name, Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So friends, if you want to find us, of course, we are on Facebook and Brendan Thomas Merritt, Logan Howard. You can find us on Instagram, BananaMan17 and Brendan Thomas Merritt. I am currently doing a Books of the Bible competition. So it's kind of like which book is better. We're trying to figure out what is the best book of the Bible according to the mass populace. So if you want to follow me, go on there, vote. And we will see what happens after we've gone through all 66 books of going head to head with one book at a time and see where we end up. So if you want to follow that or join and vote, you can follow me and you're totally welcome to participate and vote on that.
I didn't even know about this.
Brendan is going all the memes. So if you want to see all the
white hot magnesium memes,
I think right before I got on, he was posting one about P. Diddy and rappers and so I don't know.
I've actually made that one outline on this channel then.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to like that one. You know, maybe there's other ones that are great, but
like P. Diddy or Pedo Fiddler. Just saying.
So, you know, there's tons of stuff for you to other content that we put out or that we share that you can get along with and interact with. So definitely do all those things. Our website, you can find us there at FromDublinToCleveland.com. And you can also, you know, follow us at all those social medias and stuff. So hopefully we've been able to speak into your life. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, FromDublinToCleveland@gmail.com. And I think that is all I have. Anything you want to add before we send them on their way, Brendan?
Yeah, listen, guys, next time somebody schedules the apocalypse, just fire us an email at FromDublinToCleveland@gmail.com, and one of us will get back to you and tell you if it's legit or not.
Yep. We'll put on our tinfoil hats and we will prepare for it.
Let's just put it this way. If we're still around, you're good.
You're good. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We will see you all next time. Again, enjoy all of our other 111 episodes. Let us know.
111.
111. And now it's 112. So
exactly. We'll see. Make that a thing.
Bye, friends.
Slán lads.